Romans chapter 5, hear now the word of our Lord. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life, by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. This morning I want to talk to you about the subject of one Lord and one God, or the unity of God. So if you will, turn first in your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. It's found on page 985 in your companion Bible. The subject of the unity of God, or one Lord and one God. Isaiah chapter 43. Page 985 in the Companion Bible. And let's go down and begin in the 43rd chapter at verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. The nation of Israel was to testify to the fact that who was God. He was to be their witnesses. And I think that's probably where the Jehovah's Witness get some of their scriptures today. They think that they are spiritual Israel and that they are witnesses for Jehovah God. The nation of Israel was to testify that there was only one true God, that there was to be no other God. They were to have none other before them. And we see that a lot of places in the book of Isaiah. Just to look at a few, back up two chapters to chapter, or go forward to two chapters to chapter 45. Chapter 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I have girded thee, though thou hast not known me. And in verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Jump over to verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. In other words, there is no God other than the God of Israel. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. In verse 21, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none else beside me. And then again in verse 23, I have sworn myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So it's pretty evident that throughout the Old Testament, and there's a lot of other scriptures that say the same thing, that there is one God, there is no other God, one God, one God, over and over again. So now jump up to the book of John, chapter 8. Page 1540. John chapter 8, page 1540. And we are going to start at verse 45, verse 54 in that 8th chapter of John. Verse 54 of John 8, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keepeth his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Just a quick note here. I think the fact that he went through the midst of them, I don't know whether that's some magic or not. I don't know if he became Casper the ghost or what, but I think we see there all God and all man who is capable of walking out of that temple through the midst of them, and they could not see him. But why were they so agitated with what he said? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Why did that irritate them so much? Why did they take up stones to stone him? Well, the reason was, is it was considered blasphemy to claim that you were anything even close to God. And a punishment was stoning unto death. And so He there was claiming to be I Am, which is in the Hebrew Yahweh or Jehovah. And they could not tolerate that. Now, eventually, of course, they crucified him for the same thing. But why did they not know that he was, in fact, the Old Testament Jehovah? Why did they not know he was God? It tells us over and over again in the Old Testament as to what he would be, what Messiah would be, how he would come, where he would come. But like so many people today, I think they didn't know. They really didn't know their scripture. And so they missed him. And I think that's true today. A lot of people miss the fact that Christ is the Savior and the Messiah. Well, the great scripture in the Old Testament that teaches us about the fact that the Old Testament Jehovah is New Testament Christ occurs in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. So if you will, go back to Deuteronomy. It's page 247 in the Companion Bible. 247, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And some of these verses that we look at are very short. I understand that, but I still think it's important to go back and see them for ourselves and become familiar with where some of these things are in Scripture over a period of time. You know it's there, but if you don't have some concept of where it is, you can't find it. So in this 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, we go down to the 4th verse. And the 4th verse says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." The Lord our God is one Lord. Now in the Hebrew, if you were reading that in the Hebrew, it would say Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah. Now we've talked about this some in the past. The name Lord is a title or a name. And here it's Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah. The Lord, our God, is one Lord. His name is Yahweh in Hebrew. It translates into the English Jehovah. It actually means I am that I am. Abraham didn't know the name of God. He only knew this name in the middle, Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah. He knew God as Elohim. And that translates the Almighty. And it wasn't until Moses that the name of God was actually revealed. He says, I am that I am. I am Yahweh. I am, in the English, Jehovah. This, by the way, is the big difference between the God of Abraham and the God of Ishmael, Allah. Allah does not have a name. He has not revealed a name because he does not exist. If you ask a Muslim, who is God, he'll say Allah. You say, what is his name? Allah. It makes no sense. You ask a Christian, who is God? It is Elam. What is his name? Jehovah. Yahweh. I am that I am. Now the first thing you notice about this is that it's not God who is said to be one, but the Lord. And the Lord is a name. And it makes no difference what the name, how the name comes down. It's still one person. And over again it says that the God of Israel is called the Lord God of the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord our God, the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, the Lord, he is God. It's impossible to ignore this all through the Scripture, that this name Lord and God are one and the same. Furthermore, there is none other, and we read some of that already, but look in this chapter, look at verse 35. Excuse me, go back to chapter 4. There's not 35 verses in chapter 6. Go back to chapter 4, verse 35. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Verse 39 in that same chapter. Know therefore this day and consider it in thy heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. One Lord, one God. Jehovah, Elam, Jehovah. The word one here is a word in the Hebrew called eked. It means a compound unity. One, a compound unity. And we could look up a lot of different instances where that word is used in the Old Testament, but let me just give you one example that I think explains it. If you will read in Ezekiel where the prophet had two sticks, and one stick represented Judah and the other stick represented Joseph, and the prophet took those two sticks and he rubbed them together, and they became one. Here we begin to see the difference when we see that word ekad, one. We begin to see and begin to comprehend what is meant when we find out that God comes to us in different names at different times. It is first noticed in Genesis 1:1 when Moses breaks all the rules of grammar when he constructs a singular verb, which is created. In the beginning, God created, with a plural noun, Elam, which is plural for God. There we see in the first book of Genesis, we begin to see this plurality that deals with one God. We've studied this some in the past, and I won't dwell on it this morning, but we are compelled by the weight of these verses that we see that it's quite evident to believe there is only one God. Then the question is this: is Jehovah of the Old Testament the Jesus of the New Testament? And how do you know? Apparently, the Jews thought not, but the Scripture proves otherwise. Paul, knowing the Old Testament, uses Isaiah 45 to give us proof that Jesus Christ was Jehovah. He quotes that chapter that we just read, Isaiah 45. And for the two places that he quoted, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. It's page 1776. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, page 1776. We'll start at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now Paul quotes this same verse back in Romans, the 14th chapter. So go back to page 1689. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and we're going to look at the same verses, 9 through 11. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So what can you say? Why did Paul leave out the part of this verse that there's none other? He didn't use that part of the verse that we found back in Isaiah 45, where there was to be none other. He was writing under the inspiration of God. Did he just make a mistake or what? Well, I believe he purposely quoted once of God and once of Jesus Christ because he knew that Jesus Christ was the Lord God of Israel. If then Jesus Christ is Lord of the New Testament, he must be the God of Israel as Deuteronomy 6:4 declares. The Jews did not comprehend this, and therefore they killed him. Once this is understood, there's a lot of apparent contradictions in the scripture that go away. And let me give you an example. Go back to Isaiah 46, page 990. Isaiah chapter 46, page 990. There again, a short verse, but I want you to see it. Chapter 46, verse 5. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? The answer, of course, is none. God is and must be incomparable if he were to be God. However, Philippians presents us a problem. So go back now to the New Testament, to Philippians chapter 2, page 1775. Philippians chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we see in Isaiah, Isaiah is saying there's none equal and nothing can compare. And yet here Christ Jesus said he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. Unless you understand that Paul and Isaiah are speaking to the same person, you've got a problem. You've got a contradiction. We got somewhat the same thing in John, the first chapter, back up to the book of John, chapter 1, page 1514. Here's another example of contradictions that exist in the scripture, unless you understand that Jehovah and Christ are one and the same. And the Jews did not understand that. John chapter 1, verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No man has seen God at any time. The Lord himself says that. Turn over four chapters to chapter 5. Chapter 5 of John, verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath bore witness of me, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And yet passages in the Old Testament will tell you exactly the opposite. For a couple examples, go back to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. We have a conversation here between Jehovah and Jacob, starting in verse 27 of the 32nd chapter. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore it is that thou dost ask after my name. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So here we saw in John, no man has seen him. No man has heard him. John says it. Christ said it. And yet here in the Old Testament, Jacob not only saw him face to face, he heard his voice. Jump over at one other book. I'll give you another example in Exodus chapter 24. One book over. Exodus chapter 24. And we'll look at verse 10 of the 24th chapter. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and it was, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Here it says specifically that they saw God. Another contradiction from what we saw in the New Testament. These are not contradictions, of course. There are none in the scripture. If you find one, there's something wrong with your thinking. Your theology is off. There are none. But the answer here is the fact that there is one God, and Jehovah and Christ are the express image of the invisible God. They saw Jehovah. In the New Testament, they saw Christ. It's one and the same person. They, Jehovah and Christ, are the Word. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Jehovah and Christ, the same person as God. They are the God of Israel, as seen by Moses. Jehovah wrestled with Jacob, which we just read. Christ emptied himself and took the form of a servant and stooped to the death of the cross. But they are one and the same. They are, in fact, God, and no one has seen the express image of him. Only as he revealed himself to man in the person of Jehovah and Christ. The name changes, but only because the unknown quantities of God we cannot comprehend. He has limited himself to the capacity of our understanding. What do we know about the conditions of and the modes of a being that is pure spirit? Nothing. There is nothing with which we have to compare. And so he reveals himself to us as he so pleases. We are halted at the start. How do you deal with something that is invisible? He is, and he has no equal. So he becomes that which we can comprehend. He was not all.